we're doing on recovery. I want to say again, if this is, especially if this is your first time, we do celebrate recovery as a ministry of this church, as a outreach to mainly the target is people who have overcome addictions, habits, and hang-ups. They may be alcohol, they could be drugs, they could be sexual addictions, they could be codependency, they could be any kind of problem or circumstance or situation that people are dealing with in their lives. There is help no matter what your problem is. And let me just say this, every one of us has a hang-up or a habit that we don't need in our lives. Every one of us deal with our imperfections as human beings because we are imperfect even though we are Christians. We are striving to be like Jesus, but we're just not quite there yet. But day by day, as we look into the Word of God, we're being transformed into His image. And sometimes we just think, okay, it's magic. God doesn't have magic. God does not use magic. Now, God does miracles sometimes. But you know, if you can get a miracle, you might get delivered instantly of drugs or alcohol and have that miracle. But that does not change your thought processes that put you there. And it doesn't matter what you've overcome in the physical, you still have to overcome the thought processes that took you to that habit or that hang-up or that hurt or whatever it was. If you do not overcome that and replace that, chances are you will return to that habit. And many times, alcohol and drugs is a secondary issue. There were other issues. It could be self-esteem issues, which I think most people deal with. I think there's a whole lot of people who deal with self-esteem issues, that they don't feel like they're as good as someone else. Or something that was done to them in their past. Fear issues, unforgiveness issues. There's all kinds of issues that we just seem to be dealing with all the time. Well, God has an answer for us, and it's Romans 12:1-2, that we need to present our bodies to God, and then we need to renew our mind that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Today we're going to talk about maintaining momentum. Now let's go back and let's look at what we've talked about so far. We're using recovery and we're using it as an acronym. R, realize I'm not God. And I've thought about this a whole lot, and to the natural mind we think, well, I know there's a God. Well, when are you going to let Him be God? When are you going to quit acting like God and let Him be God? This is the issue that we have to come to. I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. When you do things your way and not God's way, your life will become unmanageable. If you will do things God's way, then your life becomes very manageable. In fact, the only way that you can gain control is to give control to God. If you try to do it your way, it will fail. It will fail. If you do it God's way, He will set you free, and you'll be free indeed, and you will have control, but it will be His way. But first of all, you've got to get off the throne of your life. You've got to quit calling all the shots. You've got to quit doing it your way. You've got to quit knowing better. You don't have a better ideal than God has. God sees eternity past, eternity present, eternity future. He describes what is the path. It's something that's already been proven. It's a principle that God knows works. And, you know, there's a way that seems right unto a man. Some things seem logical, but they still kill. But the end thereof is the way of death. So we have to realize I'm not God. The second thing that we have to come to is we have to earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and He has the power to help me recover. Now, you know, well, I believe God exists, but what do you think He thinks about you? And that's where the rub comes in, because the devil says, you know what? You're no good. You're just a worm. You've messed up. You've screwed up. You've lied. You've lied to God. You've made promises to God and you've lied about those things. God does not love you. You have to know that no matter where you've been or what you've done, God does care about you. You do matter to God. Can this side say amen? Okay. I want y'all to learn how to outshout this Celebrate Recovery group. Oh, I'm not bragging on them, but they... You know, if you've been forgiven much, you're very grateful. And some of us need to go back and think about what a mess our life was in before Jesus came in. And we would have a tendency to be more grateful. It's very easy. I was raised in church. I've been in church all my life. And it is so easy to take things for granted. But you know what? I was still a sinner. I still needed God's grace. I still screwed up my life. I didn't do drugs. I didn't do alcohol. I didn't chase women. I didn't do all those other things that I did that I'm ashamed of. You say, what are they? They ain't none of your business. I'm ashamed of them. They're behind me. And sometimes I just need to go back and think where I came from to where I am now. And I would learn to live a grateful lifestyle. And it helps you keep your passion for God. Okay? The third thing is choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. That's what happens when you get saved. And that's what you have to continue to do after you come to Christ. As you begin to see these issues in your life that keep cropping up, you have to constantly surrender areas of your life to His Lordship. You're going to do this the rest of your life. It may be your stinking attitude. You know, sometimes I think it's the little things in our lives that turn other people off. You know, we can kind of be like the Pharisees. Well, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like those guys. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. Yeah, but you're critical. And when you see that you're critical, or you're cranky, or you think that that's the way you are. And it's not. It's not your new nature. Your nature in Christ Jesus is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, faithfulness, meekness, goodness, kindness. Against such there is no... That's your nature. You need to put that on. You need to make some different choices about things. You know, and as you discover that, you've got to continue to turn it over to the Lord. You got to continue to say, okay, I'm not God. You got to go through these steps. And as you learn to do this in your life, you'll overcome a whole lot more than what you think you will. The next thing is to openly examine and confess my faults to myself. Where does honesty begin? It begins by looking in the mirror and say, boy, you're a mess. You goofed it up. You've messed it up. You got to fess up. You got to get real with yourself. You got to get honest with yourself. If you lie to yourself, you'll lie to other people. It begins with self-honesty. I've had to look in the mirror sometimes and say, okay, this is not God glorifying. I've got to confess that I have this difficulty. I have to tell myself. I have to talk to God about it. Because I need His forgiveness and I need His help. And then someone else I trust. Somebody that can hold me accountable. Somebody that I can discuss this with who won't judge me. And it's amazing the things that you can bounce off of people that you trust. And it's amazing that when people get to sharing their shortcomings... I'm not talking about standing up in church and doing it. I'm talking about maybe in a small group or one-on-one that we basically all have the same issues that we deal with, the same fears, the same frustrations, the same feelings of inferiority. We all basically have and deal with the same things. You know, the devil will tell you, you're the only one that's ever felt this way. You're the only one that's ever thought this way. No. It's pretty common. sin is pretty common. Death is pretty common. So something about getting it out in the open, dealing with it, confessing it to yourself, to God, and another person helps you overcome. Then we have to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. This is something that we have to keep growing in, is in our character. So we have to constantly be willing to submit to all of these changes that God wants to make in our lives. Who in here do you think He wants to change? Put your finger right here, because this is the one that He wants to change the most. Right here. The one that you look at in the morning when you get in front of the mirror. That's the one that you've got to be the most concerned about. I'd rather for Him to change my wife. I'd rather for Him to change my mother-in-law. But who do I need to be concerned with? Moi. Me. He wants to make changes in my life. And I have to submit to those changes. He will not change me against my will. I have to let Him become involved in that area of my life. Then I have to evaluate all my relationships. This is not easy stuff. See, we want God to work a miracle. We want to come up and get it prayed out of us, cast out of us, knock us in the floor, give us a blessing, let us get up and everything be fine. Till those thought processes are changed, you'll go back to your problem. It's called renewing your mind, changing your thinking. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. The problem's between your ears. The problem is in the way that you think about things. Why do people return to alcohol? It don't take long to get off of alcohol. The physical part of alcohol, you can detox in just 30 days. But the mindset that will lead you back to that is ingrained in your thinking. And it takes the renewing of the mind to destroy those. You have to replace those with God's way of thinking. And it is a process. It's not something that happens magically or overnight. It's here a little and there a little as you learn to submit to changes and as you learn to evaluate your relationships. And you're going to have to offer forgiveness to those who have hurt you and make amends for harm that I've done to others. This is tough stuff. This is where humility comes in. As we begin to realize, I have been damaged, but I've also done damage. And as we begin to do an evaluation of that, a tremendous inward focus so that we can see what we've done and what's been done to us. And then, R. We have one more next week. It's the Y. R. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God's and His will for my life. And gain the power to do it. Wow. So what we're dealing with today, and what we're going to talk about today, is maintaining momentum. Because what we have a tendency to do is to relapse. Have you ever heard that word, relapse? Well, it's not just a drug and alcohol term, but it means falling back into a self-defeating pattern. Falling back into a self-defeating pattern. I have had a tendency to beat myself up. My biggest struggle in my life has been with inferiority. From a kid, I didn't feel like I was as good as other people. I don't know where that come from. One thing, I was little. I mean, can you ever imagine me being little? I was the run, one of the run. I was the second smallest guy in the class. Shortest, skinniest. Albert Wilson was littler than me. He was the only one that was littler than me. I was the second one. I'd look up at girls. Oh, when puberty set in and I started liking girls, my inferiority level went up. Because they didn't ask us out. Now, they do that today. They shouldn't, but they do that today. We used to pray that girls would ask us out. Okay? We're trying to teach our girls here not to be pursuing guys. We used to want them to. Because you know why? Because we were too bashful. I'd have to rehearse for days to ask a girl out. It was terrible. It was awful. I even hate to think about it. It hurts to think about it. I couldn't ask Kathy out. I had to find out, first of all, if I asked her out, if she would go out with me before I could ask her out. Oh, it's awful. Because I had such low self-esteem. And I remember in the early days of this church that people would leave the church and I just beat myself up over it. Oh, it's all your fault. Nah, 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 nah. You know, and you know, we have people come and go all the time in church. That's what happens in church. But you find yourself just beating yourself up all the time. I thought that's just the way I was. No, that's a problem. That's called a hurt. And it creates a habit that causes you to have a hang-up. And I needed help. I finally found out what it would take to do that. I would do good for a little while, and then I would fall back into a self-defeating pattern. Fall back into that self-condemnation. And I think a lot of us know about self-condemnation. If you'd have done this, your marriage wouldn't have failed. If you had done this, then this wouldn't have happened. And we just were constantly beating ourselves up over stuff. Now, we do need to take honest inventory, but know that God is not condemning us. God is trying to help us. You beat yourself up. You and the devil do a pretty good job of just beating yourself up. I mean, you just feel like, oh, there's no use of trying. Well, that don't come from God. God, you know one thing about God? He always loves you and He never gives up on you. He'll never let go of your hand. I don't care what you do, God still loves you. Now that doesn't mean that He approves. You know, it doesn't matter what your kids do, you still love them. You may disapprove, you may tell them you disapprove, you may punish them, you may do lots of things, but you still love them. And God will never let go of you. The plan that He started and purposed before the time began, He is going to do His best to work that in your life until the day you die. Now, the day that you die, you go to what you chose. You either go to heaven or you go to hell, but you chose it. God didn't send you there. You chose it yourself. So relapsing is falling back into a self-defeating pattern. Okay, how does it happen? How does relapse happen? We want to talk about four things. The first one is called complacency. Complacency. That self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. We become complacent. We just let down our guards. We get into a place of self-satisfaction. I've accomplished this. I've got 2 years of sobriety, and we just let down. Or I haven't done this in a month, and we let down, and we get into complacency. And we don't realize that we have an enemy arrayed against us that is laying traps for us. And we just become unaware of our surroundings because we have let down. We have become complacent. The second thing is confusion. And what is confusion about? It means to bring to ruin, to make embarrassed, to disturb in mind or purpose, or to make indistinct. To disturb in mind or purpose is confusion. You forget about who you are. You forget about where you're going. You forget about what your purpose is, and it all becomes confused. The process becomes so muddled. And the first thing you know, you return back to that self-defeating behavior that'll bring you right back into your problem. The next one is compromise. Compromise. A concession to something of lower character. A concession of something to lower character. God has called us to His character. compromise gets us to step down to a place of lower character. You know what that'll be? That begins the process that'll bring you right back into defeat. And then, catastrophe. That's a moment when something happens that's unexpected. A tragic event, ranging from extreme misfortune to utter overthrow or ruin. Could be the death of a loved one. Could be the loss of a job. It could be the breakup of a marriage. It could be anything that becomes a catastrophe or a devastation in your life. These things can cause us to relapse. Okay, what can cause a relapse? Number one, reverting to willpower. Did you know that God has not called us to walk in our own willpower? He hasn't. Not into our own willpower. Listen to what Galatians 3 says. It says this, "How can you be so foolish? You begin by God's Spirit. Do you now want to finish by your own power?" You know, we came into this Christian walk by God's Spirit. We received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Now, do you want to accomplish everything else in your own power? Willpower is not what we're called to walk in. Willpower is only as strong as your will. God's power is a whole lot stronger than any other power in the world. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You will succeed because of my Spirit." See, we want to learn to live in the Spirit. You know, living in the Spirit is not some Pentecostal, Twilight Zone thing where you become so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. Living in the Spirit is learning to listen to the dictates of the Spirit through your Spirit, walking in the principles of God's Word, walking above those things, the urges of the flesh, walking in His Spirit. It's not mysterious at all. The second one is ignoring one of the steps. We like shortcuts, don't we? We like shortcuts. We like the path of least resistance. And so when we begin to ignore one of the steps that got us to where we are, because honestly, you have to keep working the same things over and over and over and over to grow in your life. We should never forget any of the principles of God's Word. We're always going to have to live by faith. We're always going to have to walk in love. We're always going to have to learn how to live in the Spirit. Those are principles. Don't ignore one of the steps. Galatians 5:7 says, "You were doing so well. Who made you stop obeying the truth?" Listen, it's the truth that makes you free. It's obeying the truth that makes you free. Who bewitched you that you just quit doing what you did to get where you are? Well, I'm kind of bored with it. You know, it's a good thing that we have hunger, because we'd probably get bored with eating. If you never got hungry, you'd get bored with eating. Most of the things that are necessary in life, we have some kind of drive to do. Our problem is when we get an overdrive. Okay, let's move along. Number three, trying to recover without support. Ecclesiastes 4:9 and 10 says, "Two are better off than one, because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad, because there's no one to help him up." Wow. There's a principle there. Agreement. Walking together in agreement. Walking together in accord. Doesn't add to our strength, it multiplies our strength. We're there for one another. You cannot do this stuff by yourself. You were not created or designed to be a loner. You were created and designed by God to be in relationship with other people. That's why. That's one of the reasons that we have marriage. That's another reason we have family. We need relationships. That's a great reason why we have what is called the church. What is the church? Church is not the building, it's the people. We're meeting together today as the church. We need one another. In fact, it tells us in Hebrews, let's not give up the habit of meeting together. When you don't think that you think you can get better without the church, without support, without somebody that you can be accountable to, without people in your life, you're deceiving yourself and you're headed right back into a destructive mode. I have seen people. We have two ministries here, John 3:16 and Luke 4:18. I've been observer of these ministries, and I have noticed, especially in John 3:16, Luke 4:18 is real young. But here's something that I've noticed at John 3:16, that the guys who go through the program, they get clean, they get taught the Word of God. When they get out of the program, if they hook up with support, they do okay. If they get to where they don't think they need to be a part of ministry or church or something, almost 100% of the time, they go back to their problem. That's one of the fallacies of the thing is that I don't need anybody. No, you cannot recover of anything without support. We need encouragement. You know why we have small groups in this church? You can't disciple in a large group. You can't get to know everybody here. You cannot be intimate in a large group. It's just impossible. I wished I knew everybody's name here today. I don't. I wished I knew every one of you intimately. The only way that's ever going to happen is in small group settings where you have connection, whether you have discussion, where you have interaction, and where you have support. We have to have those things. The next one is by becoming prideful. This is a big one. This is a big one. Guys really have a problem with this, and I'm sure women do too, but men have a tendency to be eat up with pride. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:8 that pride goes before destruction. If you see a person get caught up in pride in their own ego, you're seeing a person that's fixing to fail. That's why the Bible says to humble ourselves under the hand of Almighty God and He will lift us up. In fact, it even tells us that before you resist the devil, that you have to humble yourself to God. Can I say this? You and your power are no match for Satan and evil. You're no match. Only as you're submitted to God, in relationship with God, walking in fellowship with God, and then you can be powerful where the realm of darkness is concerned. But you can't do it on your own. That's pride. You know what caused Lucifer to fall? It's his pride. He says, I'll be like the Most High. I'll exalt my throne above the throne of God. I'll do this and I'll do that. A lot of people have that ideal. Well, I tell you what, I'll just do this. I. It's called pride. You know, the Bible tells us, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Don't take things for granted. Don't let down. We need to be boning up on this stuff. You need to take your spiritual development serious. It needs to be a serious part of your life. I had a guy tell me one time, says, you know, I'm a Christian, and I don't really need church. About once or twice a year will do me. And I'm thinking, bless your darling heart and stupid head. Your spirituality needs to be an important thing. And you're not getting there by yourself. I'm sorry. Bible tells us that we're not. I need you. I need you for my development. I've learned, being what little involvement I have with the guys and gals in Celebrate Recovery, hear their testimonies and see what God's done in their life, that instructs me that sharpens me. When I hear your testimony, when I see what God's done in your life, that sharpens me. That challenges me. That stirs up things that happened to me 30 years ago. I've been a Christian a long time. I remember when I was a new Christian. Man, I got saved in 1971, so I've been a Christian for 38 years. That's a long time. And there's a lot of things that I've experienced that I've forgotten. But when I see God do something new in a new believer, and I'm thinking, ooh, I remember when that happened to me. Glory! And it just stirs me up. We need that. We need the humility. Okay, how do we prevent a relapse? And this comes back to the point of today. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination. Say self-examination. Do you know what judgment is? It's when you examine someone else. It's when I examine Matt. It's not my job to examine Matt. It's not my job to examine David Jones, although I would like to. It's not my job. No, I'm kidding. It's my job to do self-examination. That's not judgment. Well, it is, because the Bible tells us that if we'll judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Okay? Bible reading. Everybody say Bible reading. Where do we find the words of life? In the Bible. Well, I get everything I need in church. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. I don't tell you everything that you need. I'm not capable of speaking into this many lives everything that you need to hear. You need to be in your Bible. God will speak to you through your Bible. You need to listen to other people besides me. Because there's other people that have things to say that I don't say. But Bible reading is a huge thing because God speaks to us through the reading of the Word. And prayer. Just talk to God. Driving down the road. Turn the dumb music off. I don't want to say this. Drive Times Force off. Ooh. And talk to God. Have a little talk with Jesus. Okay. In order to know God and His will for your life and gain the power to do it. See, everything comes out of revelation. Everything comes out of knowledge and understanding. You need to know that. See, people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I've had people tell me, said, you know what, I've been in church. They've come to church here. And they'll come from, and I'm not bragging, but they'll come from a church, maybe kind of like I came from. And they'll come and they'll hear and they say, you know what, I've been in church all of my life and I have never heard what you're talking about. Well, I'm not the only one saying those things. There's lots of people that are saying those things. But there's a whole lot of people in church that are not saying anything. And there are people who are religious and who are even Christians who have gone to places and have never been taught anything of spiritual power or significance. They have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. I don't want to deny the power. Listen. God's Word will change you. God's Word will change you. So you need to be willing to reserve a time for self-examination. Okay, let's talk about evaluation for a moment. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, check up on yourselves. Take a look at yourself. Let us examine ourselves and let us repent, it says in Lamentations. The Bible talks about reflection all the time. Of looking and examining our motives and our thoughts and judging things about our lives. What do we need to evaluate? Number one, the physical. What is my body telling me? Let me tell you when you are most vulnerable to temptation. When you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're bored. What is your body saying? Are you tense? Are you all tensed up? Are you under a lot of stress? Guess what? That's not good. You weren't made for that. You got to learn how to deal with those kind of things. So look, as you examine yourself, What is your body telling you? What is the physical man telling you? What about the emotional man? What am I feeling right now? Examine your emotions. Examine your emotions. Let's do what we call a little heart checkup. H, am I hurting? E, am I exhausted? A, am I angry? R, do I resent anybody? T, am I tense, anxious, or fearful? Let me give you those again. You might want to write those down. This is part of your emotional checkup. H, am I hurting? Am I hurting? Guess what? If you're hurting, you're a candidate for a relapse. When you recognize that, then you can know what you need to do. E, am I exhausted? You should not live a life of exhaustion. How many of you know we need rest? We need rest. Well, I'm just exhausted all the time. You need to get rid of some stuff in your life. You need to set some priorities where you can rest. Okay? A, am I angry? Why am I angry? Why am I angry all the time? What am I mad about? Or, this could be the answer, do I resent someone? Resentment is a thing that will tear you down. And T, am I tense, anxious, or fearful? Remember we said, and we heard Caroline Leaf say, that every thought is either a faith thought or a fear thought. Are your thoughts awful? Fearful? Are you in faith? You got to examine those kind of things. So you're doing an emotional checkup. The next one is a relational. Am I at peace with everyone? This is tough. Am I mad at my wife? Are we at peace? Am I upset with my boss? Am I up? I'm mad. Yeah, I'm always mad. Always upset. How about my relationships? Do I need to make peace with someone? Do I need to ask for forgiveness? Do I need to give forgiveness? Say, well, is it that big? It's huge. It's huge. When you have these unresolved things in your life, they'll destroy you. And then the spiritual. Am I relying on God? See, we need to do these evaluations. And when do we need to do them? Number one, during the day, all day long, when these thoughts pop up, catch those thoughts, evaluate them, deal with them. Don't let them become seeds that's planted in your heart. What's the easiest to deal with, an acorn or an oak? Do you know every thought's a seed? Every thought's an acorn. And if you allow that acorn to stay in the ground of your heart for very long, first thing you know, it becomes a tree. And when they're little bitty, you can pluck them up. But the bigger they get, the harder they are to pluck up. And if you feed it and water it, meditate on it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to take major surgery to deal with it. So if you'll evaluate during the day and you'll catch the thoughts, and you'll examine what your body's telling you, what your emotions are telling you, your relationships are telling you, your spiritual life. Am I trusting you, God, or am I getting back on the throne? It's real easy for us to push God off the throne and us say, okay, I can handle this one, God. Even if we do it subconsciously, it's easy to do. How about at the end of the day? When you lay down at night, do a little inventory. How'd my day go? How did I do with this? How did I do with my anger? Was I tempted to go do this? If so, why? You say, man, you're going to have to think a lot. Yeah. God gave you a big old brain. He gave you that noodle so you could use it for something besides a hat rack. For something besides watching TV and entertaining yourself with. He gave you that for thinking and storing knowledge and storing His Word. He put that in there so that the ways of His kingdom can become established in you and you can be an overcomer, and you can bring glory to Him. And you don't have to be controlled by anything other than Him. Then the third one is annually. We need to do annual checkups. How did I do this year? Go back and look. Am I different than I was a year ago? Or did I go backwards? Did I go forward? If so, why? Okay, how do we prevent relapse? I love this one. Meditation. You know what meditation is? It's thinking. Meditation is thinking. Thinking over and over and over. It's muttering. It's talking to yourself. Self-talk. You ever talk to yourself? You know, I preach my best sermons driving down the road. I'll be listening to Drive Time Sports every now and then. I think, shut up. I got the preach on me. And I'm driving down through there and I'm preaching. And I think, man, I need to remember that. I got to use that. Jason needs that. Self-talk is a good thing. When you're in the shower, when you're by yourself, you probably won't do this in public. They'll think you're crazy. But self-talk, muttering, thinking about stuff over and over and over. Listen to Psalms 1. This is the living Bible. Happy are those who are always meditating on God's laws and thinking about ways to follow Him closely. They are like trees along a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything that they do. You can be like a tree that never dries up, that never withers. You bring forth your fruit in its season, and you can succeed in everything that you've been called to do. Ooh, I like that. Psalms 115:11 says, I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. Did you know the word in your heart is a resistance to sin? If you don't have the word in there, you'll talk yourself right back into your sin. You put that word in there, you think about sinning, and that word says, that word will pop up in your mind. That's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Let's maintain momentum. Let's keep the victory that God's given us. Let's not only maintain, let's go forward. Let's bring glory to God. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. I want to pray as they come. Father God, thank You for the Word today. Thank You for the message of freedom. That we don't have to lose momentum. That we can gain momentum and we can grow. And Lord God, this can break over into revival. We want to see people come to know You. We want to see people be set free from the things that bind them. We thank You in Jesus' name. If you're here and need prayer for any purpose today, we want to invite you to come right now. Maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. We've got people that can pray with you right now to make Jesus Lord. If you're not right with God, you've been away from God, you need to make that right, people will pray with you right here. It doesn't matter what it is. You may need peace, just whatever it is. It may have nothing to do with the sermon today. You just have a need and you need prayer. Please come right now. Please remain in a prayerful attitude. stand and just slip a hand up to the Lord and just give Him thanks and praise for where you are right now with your walk with Him and the things that He has in store for you as you go forward in His love and His grace. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We glorify you in this place today. Wonderful, wonderful plan that you have for us as a people and us as families and us as individuals. Lord, thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for your love. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 5 o'clock.